This is Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. I'm Chris Nolte. Mort Marcus is an Indiana economist, writer, and speaker who puts out what are called the Eye on the Pie columns in Hoosier newspapers, including those here in Northwest Indiana. And from time to time, we have him on Regionally Speaking to talk about some of the topics that he brings up in his columns. And he is back with us today with a number of some very interesting topics. And once again, Morton, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Always a pleasure, sir. Always a pleasure.
Let's start out with the newest one that's out today, which maybe clears up for some people in a rather entertaining way some of the differences that the federal government has set up these ways to figure out some of the uses of the census data and how they get it and how that possibly can be translated into money, in particular to governments around the state. We're talking about the things that the Office of Management and Budget classify into counties, and that in turn is broken down into what are called metros or metropolitan statistical areas. I guess it's a very long name for a very basic measurement of the population, certainly, and that includes Indiana.
It means a lot of money because there are millions and millions of dollars that are allocated across the country and put into the hands of organizations like the Northwest Indiana Regional Planning Commission, NERPC, I believe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And Ty Warner is the director over there. They're located just off I-94 over in Porter County. And what they do is they're involved in transportation planning. Well, you think how much federal money flows in for transportation, not just planning, but for actual activities. A lot of the work that we see and we take for granted, we don't know where the money's coming from. Some of it is federal money that's coming through a regional planning commission. Others is money that's coming from the federal government more directly. Others, money comes from the state, which is also federal money in large part. So the question is, how is this money being allocated? Well, what's interesting is that it's not on a county-by-county basis. It's on a regional basis, meaning certain aggregations of counties. And Northwest Indiana, speaking of Lake and Porter and LaPorte counties in particular, are part of this larger planning organization. The importance is that what you want done in your community depends on the kind of community you live in. Mm-hmm. If you live in a metropolitan area, federal reimbursement, for example, for Medicare or Medicaid is different in a metropolitan area than it is in a rural area. And then there's the in-between the rural and the metropolitan, we have what are called micropolitan communities. There are none in Northwest Indiana, but it's a very strange kind of way of linking counties together. For example, if you drive down into Newton County, you go down U.S. 41, what you're basically seeing is a rural county. Kentland is the county seat, and there's just not much to Kentland. A gas station and a few other stores, but there's not much there.
No.
Yet Newton County and Jasper County are both part of the Gary Hammond Metropolitan Division, as it's called, which is part of the Chicago area. Now, that they do is they take commuting patterns. They say, well, there are a lot of people who work in Lake County or work in Porter County who are coming up either on 41 or on 65 or on 49, any of those highways, to work in those two northern counties. Is commuting the only ties that we have? Or are there other ties? Are there shopping ties? Is there news and information? I don't believe, I'm not certain, but I don't believe that any of the newspapers in Lake County or Porter County pay much attention to Newton County. But I do know your radio signal is available.
Mm-hmm.
in those counties.
A lot of people also rely on the weekly newspapers that are down there.
But the point is that if there, we don't have a lot of communication and interaction between those counties and the northern counties. The local newspapers are the local newspapers. Yes, Rensselaer, well, in Jasper County, has its own weekly or biweekly newspaper, but the and most of that is sports coverage. But if you're looking for regional news, you're basically going to have to go to Lakeshore Radio or Lakeshore Television. Mm-hmm. That's the only place you're likely to get very much these days. And this to me is a very important issue, that we understand how we are put together by the federal government in terms of money, but then there's the question in terms of how do we live. And that's how I think we need to focus on more.
One of the other columns that are out there to take a look at, the eye on and the lie on the pie, eye on the pie columns, is I'm sifting through and I'm looking at one in particular that's very interesting. In fact, it brings up some topics that we've discussed even on radio lately, which deals with big pharma in particular. And you make a very interesting observation of some of the issues that we deal with, and watching the national news, we talk about the issues with big pharma. And exactly how that all fits together, because it all is related in many ways to Medicare and of course, as to how much we pay for our prescriptions. Will you mm-hmm. tell us a bit more about what the thoughts were when you created that one?
Well, I have been listening to the chairman of the board, or maybe it was the chief executive officer of one of the biggest pharmaceutical companies in the nation, in the world, located here in Indiana. And they kept talking about the fact that if we had the federal government negotiating for the prices of pharmaceuticals, that would mean tremendous cuts in research, and they'd probably be laying off maybe thousands of people.
Right.
Well, that's very strange to me, because I know that the VA, which is also part of the federal government, does negotiate on pharmaceutical prices, and they charge far less, and they spend far less on pharmaceuticals than does Medicare, what is it, Part D? I'm not sure exactly all of the structure of those things. But the point is that pharmaceutical companies make these claims year after year after year, how they're not going to be able to invest as much money, and they're not going to be able to satisfy the needs of their employees, and it just goes on and on. Where's the evidence? Where's the evidence that their negotiated rates with the VA and with other organizations have reduced their employment, have reduced the research that they do? This is all, you know, hyperbole. It's big talk, and we have nasty words for it also. But it's not backed by fact. I'm willing to believe facts if I could see them, but we don't get any facts. And this is very important, because so many people, myself included, take an awful lot of medicines. I get up in the morning, I take 14 different pills. You know, it's wonderful. I'm not against pharmaceuticals. It's absolutely marvelous. But how much are we spending as a nation? Because my pills are paid for either by Medicare, or they're being paid for by an insurance policy I cover. Mm-hmm. And that means that everybody else is contributing also to my bills. And I'm contributing to everybody else's bills. It's a great idea. But what if that cost is higher than it really needs to be, and that the pharmaceutical companies are making incredible profits, paying their executives incredible amounts of money, having very luxurious buildings. Every time I pass Eli Lilly and Company here in Indianapolis, I just marvel at the fact that they have a fountain out front. Now, a fountain is a small expense, but it's on a street where very few people see the fountain. The fountain is mainly for the pleasure of their employees and the office tower there. I just don't understand some of the luxuries that big American companies insist on having. And the same thing goes, by the way, for hospital costs. I walk into some of the hospitals that we've got, clinics, and there's a certain degree of luxury there. It's like you're checking into a prominent hotel at a big resort. That may be spending too much on making places nice and taking the negative aspects out of healthcare. But I think it's very, very unnecessary. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they have accountants who will tell us that these are very, very small expenses. Yes, they're very small expenses. And then we have to ask, how much is that PR person getting paid to tell us that these are small expenses?
One of the columns that you put out lately is dealing with a state government issue, that is to say economic development issue. We've talked about it on the newscast here on Lakeshore Public Radio about the Ready program, which is a program based out of Indianapolis that would help regions of the Hoosier State, including Northwest Indiana, with some of the economic development projects. But you spent a column talking about how the state's all split up into these various regions, and I guess the question is to finding out how much money each region is going get.
Well, yes, the READY program, which is Regional Economic Acceleration and Development Initiative. I can't imagine how many hours it took a committee to come up with that one. That the READY program is going to be managed by the Indiana Economic Development Corporation, and they're going to take $500 million. $500 million of state funds to promote, as they call it, strategic investments. Well, we've had these regional programs before, and what happens is that an area of the state gets together. They form some kind of unit. It may be an existing regional unit, or it may be something new, and they have to have a committee then sit down and come up with strategic ideas that were going to really make this area different. Mm-hmm. Well, first of all, the strategic ideas are going to have to be paid for far more than the state is going to give any particular region. The maximum the state would give would be $50 million, which is no small change. But at the same time, they expect the private sector, they expect local institutions, they expect foundations and others all over the state to be contributing to this at a ratio of about $4 to every $1 of state money. So the state is really talking about major commitments of funds for what? In the previous program, what they had was money going to various communities. Sometimes it was based on being a small town, sometimes based on a larger town, all sorts of different reasons. One of the top items that was always in almost every regional plan was we're going to recover, redecorate, restore an old movie theater. Well, that's fine. But I don't see that restoring an old movie theater is necessarily the way for economic development. It's a tiny, tiny amenity. And yet that's going on in Northwest Indiana. I forget which towns exactly, mm-hmm. and maybe they wouldn't want to be mentioned anyway. But we have so many old movie theaters. I can think of five or six or seven off the top of my head in Lake County alone. Do we really need to restore these? Is this really going to improve the quality of life? Is this going to cut down on crime? Is this going to attract new people to come? It's a very nice amenity, but so is a swimming pool. So is a revitalized library. There are so many things that could be considered in this. One of the major projects that is being supported in Northwest Indiana right now by federal and state funds is the rail line mm-hmm. from Hammond down to Munster Dyer, down there near the border between those two towns. That's, what, $900 million based on what I consider inadequate research. That's a lot of money. A lot of people are talking about that line as being the salvation of Lake County. It's not the salvation of Lake County. the salvation of Lake County is not to send more workers into downtown Chicago. And that's what that line is intended to do. It's supposed to have all sorts of subsidiary effects, but I don't believe that it's really going to do that. We do have large numbers of people already moving from Cook County into Lake County without that rail line. And all it's going to do is going to send more people into downtown Chicago. And I don't know that the labor force in downtown Chicago is really going to be growing. There are lots of considerations here. But READY is basically a new program that's going to get a large amount of money flowing if the locals can come up with matching funds.
Well, Martin,
and, you know, that's just, to me, a recipe for disaster.
Well, we're going to have to keep an eye on that. We haven't heard yet what kind of funds are going to come out of the program yet up here in Northwest Indiana. And I'm sure the announcement will come fairly soon and be more fodder for the Eye on the Pie columns to be sure when come out.
Right. It's like hunting ducks.
That's right. Morton Marcus is an Indiana economist and writer and speaker, and his Eye on the Pie columns appear locally in the media. And he's with us here to talk about them on occasion as well, too. Thanks for being with us once again, Morton.
Always a pleasure.
And
thanks. Bye-bye.
You're welcome. Bye now. You're listening to Regionally Speaking on Lakeshore Public Radio. Indiana University Northwest is receiving a $5 million five-year grant from the U.S. Department of Education's Hispanic Serving Institution STEM program to be able to increase the number of students who get IU Northwest degrees in the STEM fields. And Professor Kristen Heisken, the Associate Dean for Student Success in the College of Arts and Sciences, was with us recently to talk about the grant and how it's going to benefit IU students in Northwest Indiana.
Eligible for this grant because we are an Hispanic-serving institution. And so Hispanic-serving institutions are institutions where more than 25% of their full-time student body are Hispanic students. And so because of that designation, we were able to apply for this funding. And so this particular grant focuses on the STEM disciplines, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. And so we're going to be using it for all sorts of things in the STEM disciplines at IU Northwest. And so really the focus is on curriculum development in the STEM disciplines, STEM services for students, so STEM-specific support services, new and enhanced partnerships with Ivy Tech and area high schools, and also infrastructure enhancements that will directly support the grant initiatives.
I think maybe people don't realize that the IU Northwest and the Ivy Tech Community College campuses in Gary share the same campus, and I know that's going to be a big advantage, that having both of the learning institutions on the same spot is going to make this enhanced program even better, won't it?
Oh, you bet. And, you know, one of our initiatives is the construction of a STEM resource center on mm-hmm. campus. And so this will be a shared space also between IUN and Ivy Tech students. And so the idea is to, just really further the relationships between STEM students at Ivy Tech and IU Northwest. And, our hope is to, of course, Ivy Tech is a two-year institution. Our hope is to even further acclimate Ivy Tech students to the IUN campus and ease their transition for those who want to pursue a four-year degree in one of the STEM disciplines.
I understand that this program in particular has a very unique name, which will benefit not only English-speaking as well as Hispanic-speaking students. Will you tell us more about that and how it came up with the name?
So the name of the grant is Triunfos, and so that is the Spanish word for triumphs. And it's really an acronym, transforming that's the TR, Indiana University Northwest, mm-hmm. opportunities in STEM. That was it. And
well,
so
it is
an acronym, but that's how it arose.
What's very clever. It does certainly speak to the point that it is an opportunity to make a transformation on the IU Northwest campus with the help of Ivy Tech Community College to help make these STEM learning opportunities certainly a lot stronger.
And the entire focus is on student success, and so that is where the concept of triumphs comes into play.
Okay. We mentioned at the outset of our conversation it's a $5 million grant, and that's going to be spread over, I understand, 5 years. Is that right?
That's correct, yeah.
That's good to hear. Now, the other grant that has come in from the federal government is going to come to Indiana University Northwest, and maybe in a way to help certain students that might be involved in the STEM program and learning, but certainly in any first-year students to help make the transition from high school into college a lot easier. Will you tell us about the Indiana Department of Education and the Indiana Commission for Higher Education grant that's coming to IU Northwest?
Oh, yes, that's right. And so we named that program Red Hawks Rise, and that has already come to IU Northwest. And as you know, we have had a summer bridge program here at IU Northwest for several years now. And so we used that funding for the summer bridge program, but this year, in partnership with our Office of Admissions and other departments on campus, we expanded the program. And so I think that we did an evening meet and greet mm-hmm. with incoming students, where they were able to connect with the folks who will help them access various resources on the campus, but also, and importantly, they were able to connect with student peer mentors. And so these are folks who, you know, they were freshmen or first-year students at one time themselves, and it's just a way for incoming students to connect with, more recent students who have been there recently. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, they can talk to faculty and they can talk to professional staff on the campus. But I think that students, you know, peer mentors are able to relate to incoming students, you know, just a little bit differently and maybe a little bit better than the faculty and staff can. But really, one of the centerpieces of the Red Hawks Rise program is that to keep the momentum going, the students then have lunchtime check-ins throughout the semester.
That's
and
great.
So they can then, you know, after they have the summer bridge program, those students and also others on campus, any first-year student on campus can, you know, have a lunchtime check-in and have conversations with their peer mentors and also, you know, get connected to resources. So, you know, if they don't know about the math lab or the writing center or, you know, whatever it is that they need, they can help get connected to those resources. There will be more information on the website for the Summer Bridge, Red Hawks Rise. If students simply go to iun.edu and just search for Summer Bridge, they will find our website.
That's Kristen Heisken, who's the Associate Director for Student Success in the College of Arts and Sciences at IU Northwest. And that's it for Regionally Speaking for today. I'm Chris Nolte. Thanks very much for being with us. We'll be back with you tomorrow.